20, 30 years. We have no clue what they go to anymore. We may have even thrown away the box or whatever it was. Maybe there's locks that we had once on doors that we kept the keys to but threw the lock away. What for? I don't know. We have this obsession that we know as long as we've got the key, if we come across it, we can unlock it. Somehow. That's the way we think anyway. You know, sad thing is, even in our personal life, there are areas in our life, even as Christians, let's just be real, Christian. There are things that we lock away in our heart and we've got the key to because we don't want anybody to mess with them. There are some traumas and there are some tragedies that have happened in our life that we treat like treasure. We treat like it's something that we just want to, to be enriched by. We want to hold on to it. We don't want anybody else to mess with it. And so we lock it away. Now, every now and then, we're feeling really down. We're feeling blue. We're a little depressed. We'll go unlock that door, and we'll sit there for a while in that situation or that thing that happened to us. The sad part is, Christians, is that we lock that door. We won't even let Jesus in there. Because we're afraid that Jesus is going to clean it all up for us. And we don't want anybody else cleaning up our stuff. We like to be in there ourselves. We want to know that it's safe for us to go there, but no one else, not even Jesus. As we read this passage this morning, we're just going to be frank about some things. We're just going to be real about what truly goes on in our life that Jesus wants to set us free from. If you have your Bibles, turn to Revelation chapter 3, verse 20. Revelation 3, verse 20 is where we're going to focus, but we're going to talk in just a moment about what's going on. Now, Jesus, in the book of Revelation, addresses a letter to seven churches. This is in the last of the church right here, and this is Laodicea. And he says, I know your works, and I know that you're neither cold nor hot, you're lukewarm. And he says, I'll spew you out of my mouth. Now listen, there's a few things we need to, who's he talking to? Church people. Folks who call themselves Christians. He's talking to church people. Not the lost in the world. He's talking to church people. Now, there may be some lost people sitting in that church that he's addressing to, but he's also applying this to the things that go on in our own personal life. That we say we have a relationship with Christ, and we may very well have a relationship with Christ, but there's some things that have happened in our life that we've locked away that keep us neutral. Lukewarm for Jesus. We can't be all the things that God wants us to be because there's some garbage we won't turn loose of and we're treating like treasure. We're keeping it locked away. We invited Jesus in. We have him in our parlor of our home and in the parlor of our life. But we just want to show Jesus the good stuff when he really wants to go in every place. Verse 20. Jesus says, here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with that person and they with me. I love what 21 says. He says, to the one who is victorious, I will give the right to sit with me on my throne, just as I was victorious and sat down with my Father on his throne. Whoever has ears, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Let's pray together. Father God, today we realize that there are some things in our own lives, God. God, we're embarrassed about. Maybe we were hurt so badly. Maybe we were wounded. God, we don't want anybody else in there. And God, we've locked away parts of our heart, parts of our emotions, parts of our mind, God, away from that. And Lord, that we won't even open it up to you. God, I pray for your people today. I pray for Christians to be real with the situation that they're living in. God, I pray for lost people who hear you knocking on their heart's door, who want to be saved today. God, speak to us in the way that you want. Move freely in this congregation in Jesus' name. Amen. So this verse of Scripture is often used, the idea of Jesus knocking on the heart's door of an unbeliever, but also we have to understand in the context of this passage of Scripture that he's talking to the church. In verse 15, he says, I know your deeds. In other words, today, this morning, as we sit in this congregation, there's nothing in our life that is hidden from the vision of God. Nothing. Whatever happened to us when we were 5 years old, 10 years old, when we were a teenager, whatever has happened to us in all of our life, whatever other people have done to us, and what we have done to others, they're all laid out before God. There's nothing really hidden behind the doors when it comes to talking about God. We've locked it away because we don't want other people there. And we try to keep Jesus out of there, even though he knows what's there already. Jesus knows our deeds. There are several truths this morning found in this verse of Scripture that allows us to grasp the hope and the healing in Jesus Christ when we unlock the doors to him. The first truth is this, is Jesus wants to heal our life. Jesus wants to heal our life. We see in verse 20, the very first part of it, he says, here I am. The picture in front of you, I made this probably 20 plus years ago as a gift from my mom. When I was an ag teacher, none other life, years ago, and put a light in it to where it shows like you're looking through your heart's door at Jesus knocking on your door. You see, that's what the vision, this is the visual that Jesus gives to us about, I'm knocking on your heart's door. He says, here I am, I'm here for you. Regardless of where you've been, regardless of what you've done in your life, I'm knocking, I'm seeking you. I'm available to you. How often when circumstances arise and maybe bad things happen, we begin to wonder where Jesus is at. How could life be so unfair? How could God allow these things to happen to us? Hebrews 15 to 13, verse 5 and 6 tells us this. It says, For God has said, I will never leave you. I will never abandon you. So we can say with confidence, the Lord is my helper. So I have no fear. What can mere people do to me? See, Jesus has not brought you to a point in your life to abandon you. He says, I'm here. All the things that happened in your life have happened with God's approval. What? Think about it. God did not intervene for all those things. He allowed them to happen. Nothing has ever happened in your life, whether it's your poor choice and your sinful decision, whatever it may be, nothing has ever happened in your life, what other people have done to you, nothing has ever happened without God giving approval. He said, how could God be so unfair? How could God allow these things to happen, even to those who were most innocent? God didn't say he didn't care. God says, I'm with you. And God says, I'm here for you. God allows things to happen so that that would turn us to him. Not away from him, but to him. And the thing is that God is there to receive us when we turn to him. Think if he was not there. How life would be miserable. How our whole life would be set in nothing but horrible and horrific things. Nightmares. would be ours. But Jesus is saying, listen, I'm here for you. I'm here. I'm knocking on your door so that you would respond to me. I know what's in your closets. I know what you have locked away. I know what's in your life. Ralph Waldo Emerson said, all that I've seen teaches me to trust the Creator, for all have not seen. The second truth that we see is that Jesus patiently waits for you to let him into those sealed rooms you have locked. The middle part of verse 20 says, listen, I'm standing and knocking at the door. Picture the front of your house. So Jesus is knocking on the door of your home. You are busy about your own life and inside of your home, whatever, watching Sports Center, whatever it may be. You hear a knock at the door, doorbell rings. You get up and go to the door. You first kind of look, peek through the window on the outside to see who it is. Because you weren't really expecting anybody. You make sure it's not somebody from a different religion or a salesperson. You want to make sure who it is. You see Jesus standing at your door. You freak out. Oh, it's Jesus. You start looking around. Oh, dishes you didn't wash. Laundry still undone. It's like, oh, I should have swept this morning. I meant to sweep, but boy, I got watching that game. LSU, yes. Oh, my goodness. And you start looking at all the flaws inside. You start looking at all the things that should have been done when you have company come over that usually you keep tidied up. So what do? You start running, throwing pillows over things. You start running, locking doors, shutting doors. You look at your room, you forgot to make your bed up. There's the clothes that you took off last night. Click. For your kids' rooms, you just go through. You know what's in there. Click, 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 click. You're shutting doors right behind those kids. You hurry up. You run around as much as you can to tidy up the place and then tidy up yourself a little bit and go through the door. And you welcome Jesus in. Oh, isn't that us? When we got saved, we asked for forgiveness for all the things we've done, but we just didn't want to talk about them. So we locked him away. But we invited Jesus into our living room because it looked pretty good there. And we want Jesus to hang out for the rest of our life in our living room. That's it. Living room. And Jesus wants to come in as a friend. Your best friends. The ones who know you like the back of their hand. The ones who you would call a brother or a sister. They know what's back there in those other rooms. They know. We can't hide that because their house looked the same way. They don't care. They just there because they love you. Jesus wants to come as a friend just like that. He knows what's back there, and he's not mad about what's back there. He just wants to go into those rooms to help you clean them up. He wants to go in there and clean those things up. We act like we have it all together. We act like everything is wonderful. But Jesus sees the closed doors that are not welcoming. The shadowed lighting has to create an atmosphere which hides the flaws of an unkept room, an unkept life. The entrance room seems to be welcoming, but the sealed off rooms give a message that Jesus is not welcome in those. Why? Because that's where we have all of our stuff located. The stuff that we don't want anyone else to see. The stuff that stifles our lives. The stuff that we leave unattended. But Jesus wants to tour our home, our life. See, this little scenario is similar to knowing our lives. To know our lives, and that Jesus wants to hear everything about what's going on in our life. Instead of letting him in just to see all the junk and the trauma and the hurt and the pain and unforgiveness, we lock it all away, pretending it doesn't exist. And that everything is fine. Yet Jesus knows what we're hiding. And he knows that we're hurting, and we know it too. And Jesus really wants us to take those keys that we have stored away and begin unlocking those doors. Begin opening up those places in our life that we don't want anybody else to go. Jesus wants us to go in that part of our life that we've concealed away from the viewing public of others, from all the ones who come into our life and go out of our life. We've sealed them away. Jesus wants us to take that bag of keys and begin to unlock one door at a time, and let's talk about it, and let's clean this place up. The third truth, you must invite Jesus in to experience true healing and the hope of a brighter future. How many Christians are living defeated today? Verse 20, the middle part of it says, if you hear my voice and open the door. If Jesus is in your home and your life, and he's looking at the door, and he says, Kevin, what's behind this door? I can make excuses, and sometimes I make excuses for years. Well, Lord, you know, it's just some everyday things in there, you know, some things that probably I have not finished up yet, and they're there, and Jesus says, well, look, I'll help you finish them right now. Well, Lord, you know, I'm not really sure if I'm lost for words, because I know that he knows my heart. He knows what I'm thinking, he knows my motives, and he knows what's behind the door. Now I have a choice. Do I just want to move him along and play games with Jesus? Or do I want to get serious and say, listen, I really need some help here. And open that door and let's walk in and talk about what's behind door number one that I've kept locked away. We hide our hurts in secret rooms pretending everything is great when Jesus knows exactly what is in those secret compartments that he wants to heal. See, Matthew 10, verse 29 through 31 says, aren't two sparrows sold for only a penny? But your Father knows when anyone of them falls to the ground. Even the hairs on your head are counted. So don't be afraid. You're worth much more than many sparrows. Scripture's telling us, listen, God knows everything that's going on in the bird's life. Everything that goes on even on the top of our heads. Every detail about us. Why can't we trust him? God knows everything. Every detail of our life, our past, our present, our future. He sees it all at one time. He knows minor details about our lives. And he knows the things that we've experienced. And he knows how they've affected us. He knows how we've been hurt within. If he knows all of those things, and he's entered our lives, Scripture says, as a friend, then why wouldn't we trust him to bring healing to our life? Listen, invite Jesus into those areas in your life that you've once called off limits. Listen, I've had them, and you do too. Why? Because we've experienced some things in this life that we really don't want to talk about. We really don't want anyone else to know about. We're embarrassed. Maybe we've made decisions that are pretty embarrassing. If anyone else knew, what would they think about me? Jesus really don't care what everybody else thinks about you. You know what? We really shouldn't either. What really matters most is what he thinks about us. He saved us to give us life and have life more abundantly. That's the joy. That's the blessings. That's the peace. There's so many Christians living today that do not have peace within themselves. And many don't have peace with other people. So many are today living in this turmoil inside of themselves. And Jesus says, listen, I want in there to straighten things up so that you can live the life that I've called you to live, that I've given you to live. And the only way is if you take the keys and unlock the doors. John Maxwell wrote, trust is the foundation of any relationship. Nothing is more important in relationships. If you don't have trust, you don't have much of a relationship. Trust Jesus to enter into those secret rooms of your life. You claim to have a relationship with Christ. Trust Him with life disappointments and disasters. And redefine the depth of your relationship. Oh, for so many. You know why there's 900 members in the on First Baptist Church roll, but about 400, 300 to 400 every Sunday? Or why is that, Brother Kevin? It's because there's a lot of people who are just playing games with Jesus. There are a lot of people who may have let Him into their life, but they're keeping Him right in the middle of the living room, and that's it. And they have so much junk out there that they're living back and forth. Emotions up and down, and they've never truly surrendered to Christ. Surrender means opening all the doors. Look, Jesus, here it is. You know what it is. You know what my life is about. You know where I've been better than I do. Help me clean it up because I can't do it on my own. Lord, I need You to clean it up. The fourth truth is this, is that Jesus will enter your secret rooms and bring His light to chase out the darkness. His light. Not your hurt. Not the pain that you've been through. Not the disappointment in yourself or disappointment in others. He shines His light. Revelation chapter 3, verse 20, the latter part of it, He says, I will come in. I stand at the door and knock. And if you open the door, I will come in. That's an affirmative. We don't have to beg Jesus. You just have to open the door. Invite Him in. Jesus fulfills the promise 100% that He makes to us. He said, you open the door, I will come in. Jesus doesn't stand on the outside of your door peeking in to criticize you, to criticize the mess of failures and disappointments and traumas. That's one thing that you and I are guaranteed with Christ. He's not going to pick at us and criticize us at all the things that we've been through and experienced because He knows them already. He just wants us to totally lean on Him. Jesus walks right on in because He wants you to give Him the grand tour. Many people think that Jesus is there to, you know, to mash them, to rake them over the coals. But that's not who He is, and that's not what He does. Jesus wants a grand tour. You know, when you visit a museum, or maybe even eat the Arboretum, or maybe an antebellum home, you're there as a tourist. And the tour guide brings you around, explains all the historical facts, maybe about a piece of artwork, or maybe about a chair. I like to hear all the background story to so many things that go on there. That's Jesus. Jesus wants to hear your background story. He wants to hear what really went on. Well, tell me about this. Can you picture Him, you opening that door to that secret place, and you've hid all those things that hurt, that you walk in and immediately the tears start to fall because it means something to you. And Jesus just hugs you. So what about this over here? Won't you tell me about that? Oh, Jesus, I don't want to talk about it. No, I'm here. I love you. I'm not here to chastise you. I'm not here to... I just want to help you and heal you through this. Let's talk about this. Tell me what you're feeling right now. And He's going to listen. And He wants us to pour it all out. Little by little, He takes the pain out of that situation. He begins to take all of its power that it's had over us for those years, and He brings healing. Then He goes to the next. And you're the tour guide. He wants you to explain it to Him. Why? Why this has meant so much to you. And you've kept it as a treasure when it's really a troubled trauma or tragedy. Jesus wants to hear about all the things, the thoughts, the hurts, the emotional scars, the fears, the insecurities. He's entered to expose the darkness with His light. The doubts and the fears, listen, they'll begin to dissipate. They'll begin to go away when Jesus is there. Jesus knows that trauma in your life is the response to those events that shatters your safe world so that it's no longer a place of refuge. It's your normal reaction to abnormal events that have overwhelmed and overtaken your ability to adapt to life. You just simply feel powerless, and Jesus wants to give you the power to live life as He's called you to through the power of His Holy Spirit. Jesus wants to take the trauma, the feelings of powerlessness, and wipe them all away. Jesus removes life from those images to where they simply become memories and nightmares. The fifth truth, and I'm closing, is that Jesus brings celebration to the places where once you experienced despair. The last part of verse 20 says, I will come in and I will share a meal with you together as a friend. See, Jesus turns our mourning into dancing. He rocks away all that sadness into a celebration. Our Savior will not enter our locked rooms to judge us or to criticize us. Instead, He enters as a friend. You know you've got those friends that you share everything with. That you grew up with, and man, you just have this bond of trust. Listen, you can trust Jesus more than you can your best friend. The same room where you felt hopeless, now you feel healing. Verse 20 in a contemporary English version says, we would share a meal together as friends. Oh, you remember that old hymn? What a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear, all because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. What a friend we have in Jesus. We claim Him as a friend, but oftentimes we deny Him as being our friend. Access to the very things that are hurting us when He just wants to sit down and have a conversation with us. He is our friend who is knocking on our heart's door, knocking on those secret rooms. He wants to come in to bring hope and healing. Say, Brother Kevin, I really want to release burdens and problems to Christ. How do I give Jesus free reign? The first thing is this. Listen, surrender the keys to that locked door. You know what the keys are? Your will. Surrender your will into His will. We can be pretty strong-willed people. You know, strong-minded, stubborn people. And we won't let Jesus into those areas. And He says, just surrender your will. Give me the keys, so to speak. The second thing, take Jesus on the tour and explain the details to Him. Talk to Him like you're sitting next to Him like a good friend. You may have to go to a quiet place. Maybe just riding in your vehicle down the road. Lord, this is what's bothering me. And talk to Him. He hears you. He listens to you. Share your hurt, your pain, your thoughts. Release them for His forgiveness and for His healing. Listen, when you begin to talk about it and you begin to tell Jesus all the things you're feeling, all the hurt that some other people have caused you, but you know what? When you're honest enough, you begin to reveal the things that you reacted to or things that you may have done to inspire the other person to say and do things. You begin to own responsibility for what you've done too. It's amazing how the Holy Spirit brings all that. And after a while of fleshing this out to Jesus, He renews our mind about those situations, about those things. Then we trust Him completely to remove our doubts and our fears, our pain and insecurity. See, Psalm 125 verse 1 says, everyone who trusts the Lord is like Mount Zion that cannot be shaken and will stand forever. Oh, listen, Christian. Whatever you're going through in your life, maybe you said yes to Jesus and you've let him into your living space. You let him into your living room where all the things look pretty good, because that's where you want to keep Jesus boxed in. But Jesus wants to go to every area of your life and my life. And he wants to unlock the door, and he wants the grand tour from us so he can begin to heal us little by little. Does it happen overnight? No, it doesn't. It is a process. Listen, I encourage you, on Friday nights, we have Celebrate Recovery. We've had this ministry here. This year makes 10 years of Celebrate Recovery. The ministry still meets on Friday nights. It's sectioned off where we have for women and for men. There's a large group here, and women and men. Sarah is our ministry leader. Over that, Sarah, raise your hand. Can I do this? Maybe you don't know how to let Jesus in those areas. Celebrate Recovery really just teaches you how to get out of God's way for him to do the healing. That's all. Because sometimes we can be so strong-willed in so certain areas of our life that we don't want anybody or anything. We don't want Jesus in there. And Celebrate Recovery is a process, just teaches us to move out of the way and says, okay, God, come on in. 10 years of ministry, many, many, many lives changed, marriages saved, relationships restored. I've seen it firsthand, been a part of that, of seeing God do some wonderful things. The ministry we have, 6 o'clock on Friday nights. Maybe if this message touched you, and you know there's some secret rooms that you're just holding the keys to, and you need Jesus in there, and you need to unlock one door at a time, CR might be right for you. Check them out. Let's pray together. Father God, today, Lord, we know that your word says you stand at the door and knock. God, maybe there's someone in this congregation today, they're hearing you knock for the very first time on their heart. God, maybe you're calling them to salvation. Lord, I pray that they have strength. They open that door to you this morning and say, Jesus, come on in. Save me. Forgive me for my sin. And Lord, they let you into their life, and there's a transformation. They go from being a creation of God to being a child of God. And Lord, that they can take you on the grand tour for each part. You've already forgiven them, but God, you're helping them heal the hurt. Father God, maybe there's some Christians today. Lord, you're in their life. They're born again. They're saved. But God, there's some locked doors that you're knocking on because you want access to them. You know what's behind it already, and you want to bring hope and healing and change in that person's life. We'll give you all glory for what you do in each person's life this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.